Today we want to talk about how we can honor the Lord by heeding His instructions, His pattern. Imagine His giving on our behalf and compare that to our giving to Him. You can't even begin to compare between the two. Jesus often taught on the subject of giving in the course of His sermon in Luke chapter 6 and verse 38. He said, "Give and it will be given to you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will it be into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you." And this is an amazing text that talks about the giving and how powerful giving is. It has an imaginative imagery that clearly points to a measure of grain that might be in a basket that is being given to an individual that is just pressed down tightly together and shaken so that they can get as much as possible into that basket, into that container. And the idea of it being in your bosom comes from a Middle Eastern way of dress, that they would put large pocket on the fronts of their garments. That was the only pocket that we've ever seen in that time. And that's where things would be put, was in that pocket that was near their bosom. And the Lord has promised that as we give, it will be given back to us. And it won't be just given back, but it'll be given back in great measure, compacted and pressed down and shaken together, and something that we can really fill our bosom with. And the Lord ensures that we will be blessed in our giving. And what are those blessings that we can have from the Lord? One can only imagine the innumerable blessings that come from God, from the goodness of our Father, and towards the liberal givers of this congregation and of the body of Christ all around the world. But we know that those blessings will be worth more than what we give. When the occasion called for it in Luke chapter 21 and verses 1 through 4, you know, Jesus looked up and He saw the rich putting their money into the treasury, if you remember. And then He looked and He saw also a very poor widow. And this poor widow had put in just two little mites. And Jesus said truly that this poor widow has put in more than all. And that's a principle that we want to have in our giving of ourselves. We don't want to give as a rich person, even though we're richly blessed and glorified by God and just innumerable things that He brings our way in the way of prosperity and our living in this country and the homes that we have and the heat that we have and the shelter that we have and the food that we have. All these things are great blessings from God. But He doesn't want us to give out of our richness. He wants us to give like this widow who had nothing but gave all. She gave out of her abundance, which was two mites, rather. And so I must ask in my giving, the level of which am I giving like the poor widow? Am I giving to the point where my offering is greatly pleasing to the Lord? Or am I giving like the rich man, that the Lord didn't seem to be very pleased with that offering? Am I a parsimonious giver, somebody that's very stingy with their money, somebody that's very frugal with their time? Because we're not talking about just giving of our monetary means. We're talking about giving of our love. We're talking about sharing of our time with one another. We're talking about doing the work in the church. We're talking about evangelism. We're talking about giving ourselves to the Lord in study and in meditation and in prayer. And so we're not focused just on the monetary, because giving and then the principle of that, we don't want to be stingy in our giving. We don't want to be frugal in a sense that we keep things back that we could be giving, unwilling to use the resources which the Lord has blessed us with. Those are the things we have in our possession. They come from the Lord. and we need to give back liberally. You know, he spoke of the blessedness of giving in Acts chapter 20 and verse 35. As he talked about those in every way that they labored in this, that you must support the weak. That's what they did there. And remember the words of Jesus, that he said it is more blessed to give than to receive. And so blessedness is the goal that we seek. And then we might all experience such blessing. Let us raise the question, how well do we give as givers? You know, as with the previous lesson, we want to take a note here and realize that there are different kinds of givers. There's those who give rarely. In Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 21, the proverb writer talks about he who despises his neighbor. The context there and the idea there is that he doesn't give anything to his neighbor. He's not a giving person. He's not merciful. He's not loving and sharing. But the psalmist goes on to say, but he who has mercy on the poor, happy is he. And so the contrast between somebody who's stingy with the neighbor, somebody who's not, who despises the neighbor because they don't give, they don't have mercy, and they're not concerned with the poorness of the neighbor. And those who show themselves selfish by not giving only hurt themselves. In Matthew chapter 25 and verse 40, we have such a contrast there. As we ask ourselves, do I hold back in when I give? And what will the Lord say to me on that great day? Consider the contrasting benefits there. In Matthew 25 and verse 40, the king will answer and say to them, assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of these least of my brethren, you did it to me. And we know what Jesus is talking about. He's talking about those who took care of the poor, clothed the naked, and gave food and necessities to the sick and the hungry. He's talking about people who gave of themselves in this world for the name of the Lord. And how happy they will be on that amazing day. They're not going to be like that one in Proverbs who despised his neighbor. And the Lord will not say, well done, thou good and faithful servant, to them. And so we need to think about our giving and how powerful just an act of giving a little more of ourselves, of our time, of our love and our care for one another, our concern for one another, the work that we can do together in the church. But we need those things to be utmost important in our lives. We have to ask ourselves, do I hold back when I give? What will the Lord say to me on that great an awesome day? You know, those who give begrudgingly as a type of giver also, not only out of a sense of obligation or duty should we be given, but some people do this in that context. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7, so let each one give as he's purposed in his heart. But Paul said, not grudgingly or of necessity. We need to give like a cheerful giver. And we need to do that. Grudgingly, according to Webster, said, it's something that is said, done, or giving in an unwilling and doubtful way. As we think about giving of our time, do we do it because our name was on the list? Because Brother Andy assigned a work duty sheet and we've all said we'll work. And the only reason I'm here is because Andy put my name on the sheet. Are we here because it's a great joy to serve the body, to be a part of the congregation, to love one another, enjoy one another's company? Cleaning the building is a joy. It's not a labor. It's something we give. The same thing's true about our resources. It's something that we should do without grudge and not because of necessity. That word necessity means something that you must have or do, something that is necessary. And listen, serving the Lord is necessary, and having the right mind about serving the Lord and giving of ourselves is necessary. But we don't give because it's necessary. We give out of the good treasures of our own hearts. So we must ask ourselves, is my giving done grudgingly or feeling of necessity that causes me to give? Do I give the monetary when the trays are passed around? Do I put something in there just because I have to? Or because the Lord blesses me so richly? When it comes time to do work around the building or to go out and evangelize or be participating in a class or an assembly, do I come because I have to? Or do I come because the Lord blesses me so much and richly so that I want to give more back to Him? Those who give graciously is, of course, the direction that we want to go. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 1 through 5. Paul made known about the grace of God that was bestowed upon the churches in Macedonia. He says, with great trial and affliction, you think about that, great trial and affliction, they sacrificially gave. And they not only gave out of sacrifice and trials, but they gave joyfully. And they gave freely. And they gave with urgency. And they gave of themselves first to the Lord. And that's how we have to be when we think about our own personal giving. Consider Jesus Himself. He gave Himself, all of Himself. And He did that for the joy that was set before Him. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2. What was that joy? It was facing the cross, but for the joy that came after the cross. When we give of ourselves, it should have that same mindset, that same kind of encouragement spiritually from the Lord, that what we do on this earth, even though sometimes it might be hard, we want to give because of the joy that's on the other side. This world is not our home. So think about that. Freely He gave for our sins, Galatians 1 and 4. Such amazing giving from the Lord our God. And such giving is indicative of God's grace. And we must ask, is our giving allowing God's grace? Is it allowing His grace to work both in us as givers and in others as recipients? Is God receiving glory from our giving? And as we consider these different types of givers, we can appreciate the importance of proper giving. Blessed is the giver, without doubt. It is more blessed to give than to receive, Paul said. And the Lord blesses those who do give. When we think of the psalmist in Psalm 41 and how, you know, the one who considers the poor, the Lord will deliver him out of a time of trouble. The Lord preserves him, keeps him alive. He will be blessed on the earth. And you will not be delivered into the hands of your enemies, the Lord says. The Lord strengthens you on the bed of your illness. He sustains you on your sickbed, the writer said. Listen, in Proverbs 19 and verse 17, he again who has pity on the poor lends to the Lord. You think of that in the terms that when you help one of the brethren, when you help a poor in the neighborhood, when you're giving, you're lending to the Lord. Think of that. You're giving to the Lord Himself. And when the Lord pays back, He pays back with usury. When the Lord gives you back for what you've given toward Him, He gives you an abundance, pressed down, shaken. Think about that when you think about how do I give? The grace of God is at work in those who do give. Let's not forget the church in Macedonia and who in their deep poverty abounded in the riches of their liberality. It wasn't that they had a tremendous amount of money. They weren't a rich people. They were persecuted. They were poor themselves. But they gave richly and liberally. And as a result, they abounded in faith and love. And they experienced the wonderful grace of giving, knowing that God is able to make all grace abound to you. And listen, all sufficiency of all things belongs to the Lord and is moved your way when you give. We have to have that abundance of giving toward every good work and realize that the exceeding grace of God is ours as we live as His children. Without doubt, giving blesses the giver more than the recipient. You know, you give your time to somebody and your love to somebody, and you might feel good about that. And for certain, God will bless you for that. And your recipient feels good, but God blesses you more than that recipient feels good. And the question that we must ask is, are we giving in such a way as to be a blessing, not only to others, but to receive that blessing from God? Secondly, God loves a cheerful giver. We've read that. We need to give, each one of us, as it purposes in our heart, and not grudgingly or out of necessity, because God loves a cheerful giver. And Paul reminds us of that in 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 7. A cheerful giver, therefore, does not need to worry. You know, when we think of giving and we do the work of the Lord, we seek His righteousness and His kingdom, we do everything we can to give of ourselves, our time, our experience, our money, our love, our grace and mercy. And you know, God clothes the grass of the field, which really is nothing. It's here today and thrown into the fire tomorrow. Consider that how much He would clothe you because of your generosity. What have you eaten today? What did you eat yesterday? Do you have food on the table? Do you have something to drink? Clothes on your back? Our Heavenly Father knows that we need all these things. And He provides those things. And He blesses us for those things. You think about this as giving back to the work of His kingdom, asking too much? Or the receiving the abundant blessings from God because of our giving? But are we asking too much? You know, God watches over those whom He loves. And we think about that. Imagine the value of your giving cheerfully back to the Lord, back to the saints, back to one another, back to the church. I don't believe there's anything greater upon this earth than to receive blessings and care and love from God, to know where we stand in this respect. In Luke 12, verses 6 and 7, Luke writes, Jesus says, "Are not five sparrows sold for a copper coin? And not one of them is fallen before God. But the very hairs on your head are all numbered. Do not fear, therefore, you are more valuable than many sparrows." You think about how God looks upon us with great compassion and great love, and how we glorify Him by our giving. Imagine the value of giving cheerfully just to help one recipient of God's love, to care for one member of the body to care for one poor lost soul out into the world. How much God is glorified and how much God cares for what we do when we give rightly. God provides the seed for the sower. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 6, those who sow bountifully will reap bountifully. In 2 Corinthians 9 verses 8 and 9, listen, God is able to make all grace abound toward you. He has that power. Do we trust in the power of God? Do we know how powerful He is? We can't even comprehend the depth and the width and the height of God and His thinking. But we certainly know His power and His majesty and His glory from everything that we witness and see. He is able to make all grace abound toward you. That always having all sufficiency in all things, we may have an abundance for every good work. You think about what that is saying. God is giving all grace, and He's abounding towards you His grace so that you have the ability, listen, not the ability to receive, but you may have an abundance for every good work. He enables us to give. He enables us to care. He enables us to love. He enables us to do the things that the Lord has called us to do as His church. He enables us to be the pillar and the ground of the truth, that we may have an abundance for every good work. See, it's not that all sufficiency and all things are on our part, but that we have an abundance for every good work, as confirmed by a quote in the book of Psalms. Listen to what he said. In Psalm chapter 112, verses 5 through 9, if you will turn your Bibles to Psalm 112 in verse 5, and we'll follow along there. And I'm going to put this in the second person as we read this, if my grammar is correct. When you're a good man who deals graciously and lends, you will guide your affairs with discretion. You will never be shaken. Your righteousness will be in the everlasting remembrance of God. You will not be afraid. You or your heart is steadfast, trusting in the Lord, and it is established. You have dispersed abroad and you have given to the poor. Your horn will be exalted. That's that horn of plenty. What a blessing it is, indeed, indeed. What a blessing. To multiply the seed even more, now may He who supplies the seed to the sower and the bread for food supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness while you are enriched in everything for all liberality. When you do give, God increases this. Listen, increase the fruits of your righteousness while you are enriched in everything for all liberality. To increase the fruits of righteousness, to enrich, be enriched for all our liberality, giving liberally in every way, shape, or form, we will be blessed more and more liberally by God, with all thanks being given to God. You know, another fantastic reason for giving liberally is simply because God is praised by our giving. Well, it's a wonderful thing that God is praised. Jesus praised God because of giving. Look at in the book of Luke chapter 5. Let's go to Matthew chapter 7. In Matthew chapter 7 and verse 9, Jesus says these words, Or what man is there among you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? You see, we know that if my son asks me for a fish, I won't give him a serpent. If he asks me for bread, I won't give him a stone. I know how to give good gifts. And Jesus in verse 11 says, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who seek Him? The abundance of our liberality is rewarded by our God. Thanksgiving is offered by those whose needs are supplied, abounding through many thanksgivings of God. Glory is given to God for His grace in the lives of every giver. Through the proof of the ministry, they glorified God in their obedience, in their liberal sharing. We glorify God. And listen, when we do that, we receive prayers from so many on our behalf. We need to remember that indescribable gift and give. Your giving liberally leads to God being praised liberally, to be multiply the seed for even more good, as Paul wrote. So we must ask, is God being praised by the way in which we give? Am I praising God? Is God receiving glory from others and from myself? By the way that I give. By the way that I give of my time. And listen, that certainly does have something to say about when we assemble and when we don't assemble. It has something to say about whether we're active in the work or not active in the work. It has something to say about what we do give of our means. It has something to say about having such care and love for one another that we're willing to give and sacrifice for one another. So we must ask, is God being praised by the way in which we live and give? The increase of the fruits of your righteousness while you are enriched in everything for all liberality. Brotherly love is increased by giving, by brethren who witness God's grace in givers, causing them to love and long for their brethren. Remember, Paul said that their prayers were for the saints because of their exceeding grace in 2 Corinthians 9 and 14. Their prayers were being poured out because of the liberality on behalf of the saints. And in Philippians chapter 3, the Apostle Paul says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, in every prayer, making my request known for you, for your fellowship in the gospel, from the first day until now. Because you give of yourself, because you are like Paul, who gave of himself liberally. God began a good work in you, and Paul was confident that he will finish that work, complete it until the day of Jesus Christ's coming. Paul says, it's right for me to think of you all. Are we living together as brothers and sisters in Christ, giving of ourselves in such a way that all week long we think about one another? Or are we not giving in any way, shape, or form apart from the offering and not thinking about one another throughout the week? Listen, because I have you in my heart, Paul says, God is my witness how greatly I long for you all with the affections of Jesus Christ. because they gave. Giving liberally strengthens the bonds of brotherly love. In all the different ways and manners that we can give, it strengthens the bonds of brotherly love. And it strengthens our relationship and our bond with our Lord and our God. We certainly have many good reasons to give. And examples like those Macedonians, they should inspire us to give. Finally, some thoughts on becoming better givers. Nothing complex. There are different ways to give. Giving's not limited, as I said before, to things like money. And God can empower us to give. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 10 through 11, Peter writes, "As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God, speaking the oracles of God, various ministries, according to the ability which God supplies." There isn't anyone here today called a brother or sister, or otherwise, even those who are not part of it. We all have abilities, and God supplies. In all things, God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. Our talents, our time, our love, our mercy, our grace. Whatever our abilities and opportunities, we need to remember we're stewards of the manifold grace of God. We should be ministers of our gifts to one another, and we should do so with the ability which God supplies. We need to recognize what God has given us. We need to sit down and take an account of ourselves. Inventory, what am I good at? And we need to make sure that we're using our talents that God gave us for the glory of God and for the kingdom upon this earth. However you give, give so that it truly reflects the grace of God in you. And ask yourself, is my giving truly reflecting the Lord who is in me? If the Lord gave the way I do, would the cross ever have taken place? Planned giving leads to cheerful giving. Purposeful giving is the key to giving cheerfully. One is less likely to give grudgingly out of necessity. And to lay by, this is how Paul instructed the Corinthians in their giving, to lay by in store the first day of the week. In other words, with purpose in my heart, I don't wait till Sunday morning, but I know on Monday when I'm going to start giving of my means. And again, that's everything that we have to offer. To prepare your gift beforehand so that the resources are ready. And just a few suggestions, plan. You see how Paul instructed the planning to produce cheerful giving? As you prosper, set so much aside for individual benevolence. In other words, to help not only yourself, but those around you and even the community outside. It may help to start to separate a separate account if it helps you to keep that straight. That you give something of each pay period to that account for that purpose. Plan to use your talents and times. Don't wait until somebody asks you on the spur of the moment. Look at your schedule, budget your time to offer your abilities for teaching, for work and projects, for evangelism and so on. And give to be seen of God. So important. Give to be seen of God. Give because of what He's done. Give for Him, for His glory. Not to be seen of men. Don't let the right hand know what the left hand is doing. Well, in conclusion, it's pretty simple. Giving can be an expression of our true spirituality. It's a sign of our spiritual wellness. As seen in the case of the Macedonians, as seen in the example of Jesus Himself. And we, as we give of our money, of our time and our talents, let us be cheerful, or careful rather, that we be gracious givers, motivated by the grace of God in our lives. We need to consider giving in such a way that we might be able to say, as the Apostle Paul did say, "But by the grace of God, I am what I am. His grace towards me is not in vain. I labored more abundantly, yet not I, but the grace of God which was in me." Think about those words and meditate on them. Think about the way in which we give of ourselves to the Lord, or do we? Think of the consequences for giving and doing the will of God. Think of the consequences of not giving and not doing the will of God. Our next lesson in this series, well, how well do we love? I hope you'll come to hear that message. Certainly, it's not an end of spiritual wellness, but it'll be the end of this series, and then the series will be yours. You know, God is walking in love, and giving is walking in love. Christ loved us, and He gave Himself for us as an offering, a sacrifice for God, a sweet-smelling aroma, Ephesians 5 and 2. When we think about what He's done for us and all the ways in which God gave liberally to us, while we were still yet sinners, Christ died for us. Romans chapter 5 and verse 8. You see, Christ gave Himself for us in many ways. And Jesus wants us to give ourselves to Him. He wants us to come to Him in faith and obedience of the Word that He's given us, the Gospel, the Good News, that we can have the salvation of our souls, be eternally with God forever in heaven, with all the saints who went before us together in heaven, if we would just give ourselves to Him first. You see, that's what the Macedonians did. They knew the right order of things. They gave of themselves first to the Lord. Will you do that today? Have you been baptized into Christ, immersed into the waters of baptism for the forgiveness of your sins, and to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, to be added to the body of Christ, the church, the kingdom upon this earth that will be delivered up to God one day when the Lord returns? If you've not done that, I encourage you today to accept the invitation of the Lord and do so before it's everlastingly too late. If you have sinned against the Lord in any way, shape, or form, the church is here also to help you this day. Whatever your need might be, I invite you now to come forward as we stand and as we sing.